chapter 7, verse 14. I always thought that there's a revival scripture right here. It is. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. The Word of God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This time I'd like to go to God in prayer. Brother Charles, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I want to preach to you a little while this morning. The church needs revival. Amen. Let's say that again. The church needs revival. Amen. I always love it when me and Debbie think alike. It's a little scary, Miss Debbie. But the first thing that I had wrote down here on my little outline this morning is, what is your definition of revival? What is your definition of revival? And I love the ones that Miss Debbie went around and saw this morning and heard this morning. I remember as a young child, my definition of revival in days past, I don't know if y'all remember these days or not, the evangelist would come and stay at the preacher's house. And they would stay sometime for a week or sometimes for 10 days. Jim probably remembers those days. And the evangelist would come to the house. That's all great and good, but guess what happened in my house? The evangelist always got my bedroom, which means they got my bed, which meant that I got to sleep on a couch for a whole time of revival. Revival was something I truly believe today that every church needs, doesn't it? Every church needs a revival, not only a set of dates that we have evangelists come in and preachers come in to preach to us, but I believe the church needs reviving all the time. A church needs that burning sensation inside of them that says, you know, we cannot do this all by ourselves. We have to allow God to be a part of everything that we are doing. I can truly say today, Bethlehem Church is blessed, isn't it? And I believe revival is there. It's got a little kindle, a little smoke. We're seeing some baptizings take place, and we're seeing new members and people being saved. You can see that little kindle start to come, and you can feel that momentum start to happening. But I believe truly and honestly now, revival comes just to put a little more gas on the fire, doesn't it? A little more when we can hear other preaching and other folks talk about the glory of God. Because revival over the years, some people say, well, preacher, revival is different than it used to be. People are not the same like they used to be. People don't attend church like they used to be. My grandpa used to tell me, when you had a revival, everybody stopped everything. You didn't do anything. If the farmers was working out in the field, they would stop working and they would come to revival and everything would stop down and everybody would say, didn't really have to ask people if they were going to go to revival. Everybody just showed up, didn't they? Now we heard, as Debbie said this morning, there's some churches don't have revival at all anymore. They don't set aside those dates anymore. We as Christians know the foundation of this church. The foundation of Bethlehem Church started when somebody said this community needed revival, didn't it? That this community needs a church. That this community needs somebody that is willing to talk about God and the glory of God. I believe today that this community still needs Bethlehem Church. And I also believe, you ready for another big amen? I believe this community needs to be revived too, doesn't it? For folks to turn away from the things of this world and say, I am going to listen to God. I'm going to hear these men preach and these folks sing. But more importantly, I'm going to talk to God and listen to God and to ask God what I need. Some folks say, well, preacher, can we go back to the good old days? Well, I think we can. I think revival, you need to be here, not listen to it online, right? Or look at Facebook or something like that. I believe you need to go back where you see a preacher preaching And one of the things that we have to realize today, I believe revival is for sinners. Amen? And hopefully there's somebody that turns their heart and life over to Christ, makes that decision. They accept, they believe, and they confess, and they truly believe in the gracious love of Jesus Christ. And He comes into their heart and His life and washes away all of their sins. I believe and hope that that will happen this coming week. But I also believe something else. The revival is also for the church, isn't it? For its members of the church. For the members of the church to say, you know what, preacher? I want to revive our church. I want the Spirit of God to be welcomed inside of our church. I want folks to feel God's grace in our hearts and our lives. And I want our church to be revived. But you know, Debbie stole another point in my sermon this morning, but that's okay. I believe today the church needs revival, but Paul Mills needs revival. And you need revival. Each and every one of us that look into a mirror when we get up in the morning, we need to say to ourselves, God, I'm willing to be revived. God, I'm willing to accept Your gracious love in my heart and in my life. You can't sit here and point at anybody else and say, oh boy, they need this revival. Oh boy, they need to come out every night and hear that preacher. Oh boy, I hope they hear what he says. We need to say, I need that revival. I need to listen to that preacher. I need to hear what God has in store for me. Because over in Galatians, I didn't give this scripture to BJ this past week, just thought of it this morning. Galatians 6:7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So as we get ready for revival, hopefully we're sowing, aren't we? Hopefully we're saying, I'm wanting to be ready. Lord, I want revival in my life. God, I want revival in this church. I want revival in this community. God, I want to be able to see what You have in store for me. But what is that recipe for revival? How do we decide that revival is here? I heard a definition one time. It says a revival is awakening of God's people, which causes them to become active for God. That's pretty good. To be having an awakening in our hearts and our lives, and where we decide to become active for God. Now, the scripture I read to you this morning, I love this scripture around revival time, because it points directly to where revival needs to be. First of all, this text this morning is directed to God's people. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name. Praise be to God today. If you've turned your heart and life over to Christ, now you are one of God's people, aren't you? That you are now a Christian. You have a great, you know, being a Christian comes with great responsibility, doesn't it? Because now you are supposed to be the image of what? Of God. That others are supposed to see God through you. So for revival to start today, we as Christians need not only to bear the name, but what? Live the name. Not only bear the name, but live that name each and every day of our lives. A lot of people call themselves Christians. You have some people say, yes, preacher, I was born again, and I turned my heart and life over to Christ, and I did that back when I was 14 years old, and I remember that day that God saved me. Well, so often, between the day that we were saved and the day that we are at the age we are today, sometimes we lose some of that revival, don't we? We lose some of that momentum that we had when Christ came into our lives. So the scripture says, if my people will look at themselves and say, you know what? I need a little extra in my life. I need to feel a little bit more about the grace of God in my heart, in my life, and know more about God. So revival tonight is for who? Me? You? And all of us saying, Christ, here I am. I'm willing to receive your glory and your honor. And also tells us that we need to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. Humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. This simply means that we are to go down on our knees and pray and talk to God and ask for God's guidance and direction. Honestly, now be truthful with yourself. How much praying have you done for the revival? You say, well, Brother Paul, we prayed. You prayed during the prayer this morning. I believe that we needed to be praying last week, didn't we? And then we need to be praying all day long. And we need to be praying as the preacher's preaching here tonight and humbling ourselves and listen to the guidance of direction of God. We need to say to ourselves, sure, there's going to be troubles arise. There's going to be things that come into my heart, my life. But during this revival time, I'm going to try to lay aside all of those things. And I want to be in tune with Christ. And I want to hear what Christ wants from me in my heart, in my life. To have that prayer with God. And pray to God and say, God, whatever I need to change, I'm willing to do so. Whatever needs to change in this revival, that I pray. And also, not only pray for that, how many of you this morning have family members that you know that wouldn't be in heaven with you someday? How many of you have friends that you know, if the roll was called up yonder today, that heaven wouldn't be their home? How many of you know people in this community right around here that if God called them home today, that you would say, I wonder if they were saved? Who should you be talking to today? Who should you be praying for today? Who should you be on the phone or texting them or taking a little piece of paper to them and say, come out to revival tonight and hear about God. There's going to be some good preaching. There's going to be some good singing. And more importantly, you know, I believe there's something more importantly than the preacher and the singing. God's going to be there, right? And if God's there, their opportunity for salvation is there. Make that opportunity. Humble yourselves and pray and seek God's face and say that you're going to do everything that you can for revival to come. Then the scripture says, for us to turn from our wicked ways. How many of you believe today there's any wicked ways in the world today? We could name a bunch, couldn't we? We could fill up the whole back wall up here, go down through here and there, probably could fill up the fellowship hall, couldn't we? With all the things out in the world, those wicked ways. I looked at just a few of those things this past week that we see how so many people are turning away from God and just wanting to do their own thing and say to themselves, this world, when it ends, that's it. There's nothing else. But we as Christians know when this world ends, it just what? Just starts. And we can feel that refreshing of God in our hearts and in our lives. I don't know what you have planned this week. Well, a lot of folks will say, well, Brother Paul, the word try always scares me. Does it scare the rest of you? I'll try. That leaves the door open for what? Not coming. No, I probably won't. Make that decision today and say to yourself, well, the church needs revival, right? Bethlehem Church needs revival. People in the community needs revival. But most importantly, what? I need revival. And I'm going to do everything in my ability to support this revival and do the will of God. I believe there's nothing wrong with having revival every Sunday, right? So we can start revival today, can't we? If there's somebody here this morning that's struggling with something in your life, one of the things that I believe a lot of people forget about is just because you're Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have any problems. You're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have things that you say to yourself, why does this have to be a part of my life? Why do I have to deal with this? Lord, I've already had my fair share, why are you giving more to me? Well, I've always sort of been in the mentality, God must love me and believe I've got a lot of strength because he's really giving it to me right now, right? But today, guess what? You can say to yourself, God, I thank you for all you've done for me. And God, I even thank you for the shortcomings I have in my life. God, I even thank you for the problems that are there because you know and I know that you're going to be strong enough to help me to what? Be able to overcome that. Maybe that's what you need to pray about today. And pray to yourself and say, God, I need your help in my life to give me strength and give me courage to overcome those things in my life. Maybe today's the day you say, well, preacher, you know, he's talking about being saved. I haven't done that yet. I haven't made that decision just yet in my life. I hadn't said to myself, that's an important thing for me. I've always believed, you know, there's a lot of important things you do in your life. You know, all these things and jobs and getting married and having kids and having all these. Those are all important. But the most important thing that you can do is turn your heart and life over to Christ, right? That's the most important thing to do. Because when you do that, everything else, quiet, comes together, right? So this morning, if you've not been saved, we invite you to do so. We're not going to embarrass you. You don't have to come up here this morning and say, preacher, here's a laundry list of everything that I've done in my life, and here's all the sins that I've committed, and this is all the people that I've done wrong, and these are all the things that I've done wrong. You don't have to come up here and tell me that this morning, because Paul Mills doesn't save you, God saves you. And God already knows what those are, don't they? And praise be to God, all that God does is this worse than white as snow. All you have to do is accept him, believe in him, and confess those sins. Maybe that's the day that you want to do that today. Because there's going to be people pray with you. I'll pray with you. I know if you've got family here, they'll pray with you. You've got a church family here, I guarantee you, they'll pray with you. But most importantly, who? God will pray with you. Maybe that's you. Maybe today's the day you say, you know what? I like Bethlehem Church. I like going down there and like those people and they're friendly and they encourage me and I want to be a part of their church today. Maybe that's the day that you say, Bethlehem Church is now going to be my church home. That I'm going to call that as my church family. We love that. We love when there's more folks. People say, well, why do you got to be a member of the church? Well, I believe that when you become that member of the church, you just sort of start bonding together, don't you? You start feeling that special love, and God is able to use you and turn you into that person he wants you to be. Whatever that is today, remember God has a plan. The church needs revived, but we also need to be revived today. Listen to his call as we have our closing song. Joe and Larry.